Hi, I'm Tony. My dad is Sunday Steven. This is Sippin' Tea with Heather and Steven.
Okay, so my question to you.
Yeah.
This might be complicated or it might be simple. You ready?
Am I going to cry?
You can only choose one.
I can only choose one. There are multiple options. Are
Pancakes,
there two options?
Waffles, French toast. You can only choose one.
There can be only one.
That's right.
Okay, can I ask a few questions?
Sure, but I'm not necessarily going to answer you.
Okay. Are these homemade or are these commercial?
Homemade.
Homemade. Good, good, good. Toppings available or not?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Your favorite toppings for this particular...
And you want to hear about the toppings, or they're inconsequential. You just want to know what mode of breakfast
if you choose delight. This, if you tell me your choice, then you're like, and this is why, because I like to put this topping and that topping.
And so we have pancakes, waffles, and French toast.
Kind of all the bready, sweet kind of things that you could put syrup and stuff on.
Which are supposed to be breakfasty.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Breakfast could be, I don't know why we just leave breakfast food for breakfast.
We shouldn't.
Because in my family, we don't.
No, we don't either.
Good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's wholesome.
Yeah. Well, and breakfast is good.
Breakfast is good.
There's so much good about it.
And you know what? I am amening to that. And the other part is that sometimes I don't need that big of a meal before I'm going to run around or I'm going to go to work or whatever.
Right, right.
But I sure wouldn't mind that big of a meal in the evening.
For sure. I get you.
And it's like comfort food.
Yeah,
why would
it
you
really
not want to do
bacon?
That?
I mean, bacon.
Wait a second. Bacon? Yeah. Now there's sausage?
No. I'm just saying, like that's a part of breakfast.
Holy cow. Now we're up to like multiples of 12 here. I'm like, what?
No. Pancakes, waffles, or French toast. Which one would you choose?
Okay. I'm going to do this in reverse order.
Okay.
We can eliminate waffles.
Okay. Do you have a good reason?
Yes. They are too crunchy, in my opinion. I do not like a crunchy waffle.
Okay.
I enjoy a softer texture.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So if these are homemade, now this is that was the caveat.
Homemade.
Homemade. I'm going pancakes.
Okay.
Okay.
Not French toast. Why?
But if I'm at a restaurant, it's totally French toast.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Because
what's so special
about
the pancakes?
The restaurant can make French toast better than I can.
Really?
And I really enjoy, things that we could categorize as kind of wet bread based. Yes, you should be amazed that rolled off my tongue so easily. Wet bread based. I said it just like I'd said my own name.
Yes,
that's very, very comfortable.
You've thought about that a lot.
I have thought about that a bit. And so like dressing. Big fan of dressing.
Yeah.
Bread pudding. Love bread pudding.
I don't.
Tiramisu. That's ladyfingers soaked in coffee and espresso with some dessert. Yeah. French toast
bread
at a restaurant.
Soaked.
Bread-soaked custardy goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm out there at the restaurant doing that kind of stuff.
It's a way to get to your heart right there.
Yeah, right there. Okay. Bam.
But what is special about pancakes at home?
Well, first is their simplicity. You know, if you've been making a pancake, you get some experience underneath
That's
your
belt.
True. The simplicity of it.
Okay.
Okay. But it becomes a vehicle for something.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm going. Okay. I am the guy who loves great big Michigan blueberries
in his
pancakes.
Yes.
Love that.
Okay.
In fact, I can literally just Michigan blueberries and butter, and that's it.
No syrup.
No syrup, no nothing. No peanut butter, no syrup, no chocolatey chips. Don't need any of that stuff.
Wow.
The Michigan blueberries are enough.
Wow.
Yep. And back to your court, ma'am.
Pancakes, French toast all day long. Doesn't matter whether it is at a restaurant. Doesn't matter whether it's at home. I love French toast.
Really?
Now, the other thing I will say is there are only about three things my husband cooks ever. One of them is French toast.
And he must be really good at it.
He's good at it, yeah. I mean, it's good French toast. But like, I don't know. Again, there's something about like soaking that bread in egg and milk and putting it on there. And I do agree with you with the bread. I'm not a huge bread pudding person. I do like tiramisu. It's French toast all day long. So like if I can substitute French toast for pancakes, I do it. Waffles, the kids always liked waffles and I would make them and I don't don't know. It was lame to me. Waffles seem lame to me.
Yeah, and I can use a frying pan or a griddle, something easy to make the pancakes
the
French toast.
That's very true. But
waffles needs its own implement.
For sure.
And not a fan.
No, and it doesn't always work out right. And there's a lot of variables with a waffle maker that I'm like, too much.
Right.
Then you got to clean it.
Well, yeah, and half the time I put too much batter, and then the other half I get half a waffle, and I'm frustrated.
I'm with you on that. No, I can't do it either. So, yeah, I agree. But no, French toast all day, every day. I could do it anywhere.
Flavored or plain French toast?
Oh, no, just regular French toast, then I do syrup on it. But I have done, like, strawberries and whipped cream on French toast.
Okay.
I don't bring it. Like, that's like, giddy up, let's go.
Okay, let me go fancy on you. What about the bread itself?
Yeah, it has to be the best French toast is the Texas toast.
Oh, okay.
Like, Paul will sometimes do, like, just the regular toast, and I'm like, it's okay. But no, you need to buy the Texas toast.
Okay, but I'm ramping this whole thing up.
Oh, wow.
And I'm throwing it back at you. Saying that, like, a Pepperidge Farm cinnamon swirl toast to make your French toast. Has potential.
I think we've done that once, and it was really, really good.
Yes.
I agree. So that is good. That is a high standard French toast.
Right.
So,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. You got another question for me?
So we were together recently.
Yes.
Watching a professional football game recently.
Yes. Because I stayed at your house. So I want to let people know your wife was there.
Yes.
And I stay at your house sometimes because I live in Lansing, Michigan, and you are in Kankakee, Illinois.
Far, far off land. Yes.
And so as a gift to me, Stephen's wife, Angela, and him welcomed me into their home. So we were watching a Monday night football game together.
We were watching a Monday night football game together recently on my very large TV in the living room. Okay. There you go.
It is actually. I can't dispute that.
Okay. All right. So I'm enjoying this because not only do I have company, but we're watching a football game.
It was the Bears.
I wasn't going to say that. Now I'm going to get a phone call, a nasty phone call from the Bears organization.
Yeah.
But it's fun to me because allow me the space to say, in my brain, the Bears are bad football.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if I'm talking about this season or multiple seasons. Right now, the Bears are playing bad football.
Right.
And so instead of being disappointed, I actually sit down and create scenarios in which the Bears use their resources to lose the football game.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
So I'm actually, and if it happens, which it did the other night, and I was torn, and this is where this question comes from.
Okay.
Here's the question. Is it better to be right about something bad, an outcome which is negative?
Okay.
Or is it better to be wrong about something that turns out good?
I think it's the second one for me for sure.
Okay.
But I think this is, I know where you're going with, because I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be because we've talked about this. I tend to be the eternal optimist.
You are the eternal
and
optimist.
And I try to see the good in everything.
Yeah.
I try. And there's times where I get bogged down. But like for the most part, I'm like, try not to think about the bad thing coming. Or think, well, this, because I don't think about the bad outcomes.
Right.
I go, well, this, I hope that this doesn't happen, but I think this is going to happen. And I always think of it like, well, even if this happened, then I could do this. So I'm always trying to figure out like how to positively spin.
Okay.
I hope that I'm not like a Pollyanna. Do you think I'm like
what's that mean? Just in case our listener doesn't, I know what that means.
Okay. So it's just like, oh no, you know, like, so you cut your leg open and you're bleeding. Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
no,
right.
I won't lose my leg.
Right.
You know, I'm sure. Just, I don't need to go to the doctor.
Yeah,
it's totally fine.
I'll still look cute in shorts.
Yeah. Right.
Don't
you
worry.
Know, no. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
no.
I think, but I want to look at things and say, I believe that even though we live in a fallen world.
Okay.
So I'm going to go a little bit deeper than football, but even though we live in a fallen world, that we still have a good God.
Amen.
Who is still working and still on my side. And so even if this looks like it's a bad situation, I'm going to trust that God's going to help me get through this and he's going to bring me out to the other side. And maybe on the other side, I'll be able to see some good that he brought in the midst of that really tough situation.
Wow. That's really well said. I like that. And again, the eternal optimist speaks wisdom. I love that. And so, you know what? I actually do depend on your optimism.
Yeah.
I lean into that. And people don't know that about you and I, but we have conversations that are often offline because that's, we only spend a small fraction of it interacting on the radio together, if at all.
Right.
So I actually lean into that for you. You're my source of optimism. And this podcast is for me a source of joy. And so that's an outflow of that.
Yeah.
But if I had to answer the question I asked, which is the fair way we work this podcast,
yes,
I'm actually number one. I'm the person who
I knew it.
Enjoys being right about the bad that's about to come. And here's my explanation. I have two defenses for this.
All okay. Right.
Uh-huh. And I was not prepared. I knew what your answer was. I felt like.
What did I say what you thought?
Yes, you absolutely did. Almost verbatim, which I love. It's not that I feel like you're just a robot or you're rote and she was just going to fill in the blank the way I thought. So I depend on that. Mm. So I'm really glad you answered that correctly, or in my opinion, correctly. I don't know about, how you feel. I know your answer is honest. Mine helps me prepare two ways. Mm. My answer does. Number one, even in the tough things, I feel like I get some joy out of being right about seeing the bad that's about to come.
Oh,
and I nailed it. I knew that. It's not going to take me down. It's not going to take me off my stride.
Okay,
I saw it coming. It's almost like I see the puddle. I see the puddle. See the puddle. Puddle's getting closer. I'm either going to get wet or I'm going to jump the puddle. The puddle's not going to go anywhere, so I got to deal with this.
Right.
And so that's kind of my mentality. The other way, if I wanted to go as deep as you did a moment ago.
Yeah.
I would say it's a way I am growing more comfortable the older I get with the idea that a holy, just, sovereign God uses challenging situations in our lives to remind us of our need for Him.
For sure.
And so I look at it and say, okay, that puddle didn't go away and I got soaked. But what did I learn from that?
Right. Yeah.
And God's still on the throne.
Yeah,
God's
for
still
sure.
good.
Yeah.
Puddles still happen. Bad. God's still good. Good.
Right.
And so that's kind of my dual explanation for how I and why I approach the question like
that. Okay. All right. That doesn't surprise me. But I will say, watching a football game with you is quite entertaining. And he predicted things in that game that actually then happened. He said, okay, it's about time for Minnesota to start and throw another interception. And then he did. Then he's like, okay, it's time for Chicago to fumble. And they did. And then you're like, okay, it's time for Minnesota to score a touchdown. And they did.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is that you said that the Bears were going to lose, and they did not.
And they did not. So that is the heaviness that approached me. I wasn't right, so that was the bummer. But why was I celebrating my home team, the Bears, winning? I don't know how to answer that question, because I had pre-programmed from the beginning of the fourth quarter how they were going to lose.
For sure.
And they were writing it as a script in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like stunned, and I was just like, oh no. I'm sorry. Your expectation is that teams try to figure out how to win, and I'm over here writing the script.
You're like
writing the script of how they're about to lose.
Just so you know.
I've been a Bears fan for so long that that's what I now do.
Yeah.
That's comfortable for me. That's comforting. I don't shut the TV off. I just keep going, yep, and they're about to march down the field and lose the game.
Lose the game. But they didn't. Yeah,
they didn't. I was stunned.
Yeah.
They really did. And that's why, in my opinion, they really did deserve to win that game.
Yeah. Because they figured out a way to win.
Oh, they figured out. out of the 14 possible outcomes I had in my head, one of them, just one of them, had them winning.
Right. And they did that one.
They pulled it. Mm-hmm. And I was stunned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Funny. This has been Sippin' Tea with Heather and Steven. If you would like us to answer a question, email me, Heather@shine.fm.